This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
That it is. Chris Carlin in for Alan Hahn today, along with Bartholomew Martavius Scott. Hello, Bart. How are you, brother?
What's up, baby Buddha? What's going on?
Good to be with you. Good to be with you as always. And as always, Barton Hahn is brought to you by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. What's going on? It is the NFL Draft, more pro days in the San Francisco 49ers. Mac Jones and Justin Fields have their pro day today. And this brings us to Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Bart, you got Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch both attending Mac Jones pro day. They're sending the assistant GM to go see Justin Fields. I have to tell you, it's funny that we have got to this point that the 49ers were so willing to move up and do everything that they did in terms of what they gave up to get to the third overall pick, because they had to be comfortable with one of three options in Jones, Lance, or even potentially Justin Fields. So with that said, when you see the GM and you see the assistant or the head coach go down to Mac Jones pro day, you making any big deal of that?
Not at all. You ever fought your little sister or something, Chris, and she's mad at you, and listen, you've been teasing her so much that eventually she just loses it, and she comes with you with the most telegraphed punch in the history of punches, and you see him coming, and you like kneel in the Matrix, and you kind of dive in the pitches and roar. They're so slow, right? This is the biggest fake pump fake triple threat fake that you can ever make. I cannot see any way in hell that you move up and you give up so much draft equity to move up to get Mac Jones. And knowing that at 12, he more than likely was going to be there. Because if the three quarterbacks were coming off, you know, you think about Fields. You think about, we know Lawrence is coming off. Now we hear Zach Wilson is coming off, right? It's like, come on, man. Like the fourth guy, we didn't expect people to be moving up. We thought that he would fall and he would be lucky to get picked at 15th with New England, right, because of the need, because of the connection with Nick Saban. I don't – when is the last time that I've ever heard in recent drafts, hey, this guy reminds us of Matt Ryan? Like, that's what we're looking for now? We're looking for a non-mobile quarterback in the modern era where you want your quarterback to be able to move, get on the move, throw on a run, be able to get to the edges, be able to buy time, make off-schedule plays with his legs. When is the last time we heard somebody say, man, we're looking for the next Matt Ryan? Now, listen, it's not a knock on Matt Ryan, but Matt Ryan is back in the day with the statues. And we know that the greatest quarterback in the world is a statue quarterback. But he's the greatest quarterback in the world, right? And as his skills and his body has diminished, that was never a part of his game, right? So now you talk about a guy that's being compared to Matt Ryan. Why would I want that, right? Why wouldn't I want that third dimension that is so special, that makes defenses play 11-on-11, that makes defenses, when they play man-to-man coverage, a liability, right? We look at Danny Dimes. We look at Josh Allen. We look at Lamar Jackson. You play man-to-man and defenders turn their back to those athletes, spire not. They're going to make you pay. I'm not saying make you pay with a five-yard run, get up and put the arm forward. This one's for John. Run and get helicopter. No, these guys are running for 30, 40, 50 yards and breaking the angles of defenders. I don't know why you would want – and listen, I understand he ran a 4.8 crazy, but I just don't see – moving up, giving up all that, explaining to your fan base that you don't have a first-round pick next year and the year after that because you moved up to get Mac Jones.
Bart, I look at Mac Jones and I think this guy's going to be a fine quarterback. He's going to be an okay quarterback. He's going to be a good quarterback. I look at a guy like Justin Fields and he's got a chance to be an electrifying quarterback. And listen, whether it's Fields, whether it's Lance, even if it's Jones – one of them's going to have to sit behind Jimmy G for a year. Let's take a listen to John Lynch, the 49ers GM, about this situation, because as far as they're concerned, Jimmy G is their guy for right now.
I think you try to keep a lot of balls in the air, try to see what your options are. But one thing consistent, we've been pleased with Jimmy. We know we can win with Jimmy. And then ultimately we arrived at this deal after free agency that, okay, if we're going to move up, you know, let's do both.
Listen, you're going to move up. You're going to go to make this kind of a move. if you're keeping Jimmy G and you're keeping and you're going to take Trey Lance, okay. I've talked to people around North Dakota State and around him the last couple of years. They love him as a player, but he can't play year one. He cannot play year one when he's only played 17 games in the NFL. And then I look at Fields and everything he's done. Bart, what's happened here? Because this was number two to Lawrence this entire season, has one bad game, comes back, is amazing, amazing and hurt in the national semifinal, and then it's not great against Alabama, and everybody's down on this guy. Bart, every time I looked at this guy, he can make every throw and can do what he needs to do on the ground.
And I think you need to explain to the audience what you mean by that, because you've had a first roll seat to him kicking y'all ass for how long? Right? So our viewers don't understand that, you know, that you call games for Rutgers, which is in the Big Ten. So you've had a front row seat. And when does somebody get punished for playing? When you think about Trey Lance and you think about Zach Wilson elevating and moving up by not playing, by having a bad game, by not putting film out there. And by the way, when he did put film out there, what was the competition like? Right?
Yeah.
You talk about the competition. These guys are getting elevated because they had good film or decent film against inferior competition. Meanwhile, you think about the pressure that Justin Fields had to go through. Listen, I don't think Justin Fields is a great quarterback. Do I think he's better than Jalen Hurts? Yes. I think his ceiling is Dak Prescott, which the Dallas Cowboys are all
bad.
In on that. Right.
Take that.
Right. I think it's more Dak Prescott than it is Johnny Manziel or even Baker Mayfield, right? So I believe that his floor can maybe be Baker Mayfield and his ceiling can be Dak Prescott, right? So when I'm looking at it, I'm saying I don't know how this young man could really drop that far. And if Shanahan is supposed to be a whisperer, he should want to whisper in the ear of a guy that has that third element. He's had Matt Ryan, right? He's had all these other guys. To me, when I see Zach Wilson and all the things that people talk about, his football acumen, the throws he makes. You know who I see? Like, everybody else sees Mahomes, right? I see Jay Cutler. I see the headband. Oof. I see the headband. I see the arm talent. But I don't know if I can trust him. I don't know if mentally he's the type of guy. And we haven't dug deep enough to know what this guy is like off the field. We don't know who he is as a leader. We haven't – you know, I'm sure they're interviewing his teammates. But what do you expect them to say?
I'm glad you brought this up. Because this has been a big hang up here for me, because there has been a clear separation all along, Lawrence and then everybody else, right?
Yes.
I think we can agree on that. I talked to two different coaches this morning in the league about the evaluation process when you can't get the guy in your building. You know, right now, because of COVID, it's not like they can come on a visit. It's not like you can do anything besides a Zoom call. Each team gets 5 Zoom calls with a prospect. And you're not going to really learn about a guy and who he is in terms of a person when you don't get to spend time with him at all. And so let's talk about this. At the top of the draft, first, second, third, first you got Lawrence. You know what he is. It's been 3 years. Everybody knows what he is. 2 and 3, Bart, it would scare the daylights out of me to take a quarterback in that spot when I can't spend any true quality time with him and really figure out what he's all about. Yeah, I can put him up on the whiteboard on a Zoom call, but for me, no, I want to spend time with that guy in his position group, his position coaches, and take him out to dinner, all that kind of stuff.
You know what they're doing, Creasy? They're giving him playbooks, right? They're probably sending him information. If they have 5 calls and they're saying, hey, you know, we want you to look at this playbook and we're going to come back and see what you recall. You know, the first thing he's doing, he's calling his tutor. And he's getting all the answers to the test. So when you call him back, he knows exactly what to do. These things are the most scripted.
I don't need a take-it-home test.
These are the most scripted things that you could think of. You think about the kid you talk to. You're not talking to that kid. You're talking to his representative. They've prepped him for every single question. It's like they know the questions that you're going to ask before you answer them. And he answers them a certain way. And he's sitting proud. And he's doing all the body language things that his body language coach told him. So the biggest thing that you have is they're lying. You want to know who he really is? Talk to his ex-girlfriend. That's what I'm saying. Talk to his ex-girl. You got to dig deep. You got to look in the trash basket, Chris. I don't know nothing about this kid, man, and they don't either. And the fact, listen, you already are – listen, you think about second and third picks, right? You've already had your evaluation. You already know who they are, right, for the most part, right, because we've seen them for years, We don't know anything about this young man. He came out of nowhere. So the fact that they think that they're going to move up, not only to move up for something that's not even a sure thing, but give up so much draft capital. Listen, this is something, right? Listen, they say scared money don't make money. Listen, yeah. If they don't get this right and they're in this window where they already have players that are cheap because they've drafted well, because they're a young football team, so they haven't played their defensive lineman. They don't have to pay Nick Bosa yet. They don't have to pay their outstanding linebacker Wagner yet. They don't have to pay a lot of their skill positions. Juszczyk is under contract. Kittles is under contract. Deebo Samuels is still too young to get paid. Anuk is still too young to get paid. But eventually, if they make the mistake now, guess what? These guys will be coming up for contracts pretty soon, and if they have a quarterback that can't get them the football, they're going to try and win, and they're going to go into a game with a quarterback that's not good enough to get them over the hump against another great quarterback. Now, if they see greatness in this guy, he's going to have to be great because Jimmy G is going to be gone, and they're going to try and have to figure out what this kid is capable of. And you can do everything you want, right? You know, we give Shanahan all the credit and accolades that he's deserved because he's been absolutely beast when it comes to designing plays and being able to play with great people. But why would you want to go out and get another Kirk Cousins? You already been there, done that. That ceiling had a roof on it, right? It couldn't go that high. Why wouldn't you want to get somebody that's more electric, that can do something that your offense has never had? Kirk Cousins, Jimmy G, same type of player. If you give that offense and can be successful with that offense, with those players, imagine what happens if you have a guy that can scramble and make teams play when they decide to go with two-man or decide to go with man-to-man coverage or decide to go cover zero where you can make them pay because you don't account for the quarterback. I don't understand what he's doing, but this is risky business. If they get a guy like Trey Lance that can sit behind, that does have all those elements, that can run like Lamar Jackson, not as good, but he's an athletic quarterback, they can figure out ways to throw the ball and be able to get hit a guy that's wide open because of the play design.
Yeah, and that's the thing about Lance, you know, in talking to people about him. If people think he's going to be Jackson, he's not. That's not what he is. He can make plays with his legs and extend plays, absolutely. But if that's what the 49ers are looking at, you're looking at the wrong guy. This is still a guy that has a lot of developing to do. I mean, he played one game this past year, and he wasn't very good. Well, what do you expect him to be when you only play one game? And basically, the purpose of that one game is to showcase you. You know. So now let's shift here to the Jets and how they play into this, because the Zach Wilson thing, Bart, this has happened very, very quickly, where everybody has just kind of thrown them together, and as Dave Gettleman would say, it's full bloom love. Like, is it? Because y'all just started dating a little bit here, and next thing I know, you're showing up on Page Six canoodling at restaurants in the city, but you really don't even know each other
90
yet.
90-day bride, right? You meet each other, you get married in 90 days, you got to decide if you want to marry him or not. So
that's
think about the 3 months
like.
The 3 months of the evaluation. They're having a shotgun wedding, right? They're doing a 90-day fiancé on Bravo. This episode of the draft should be on Bravo. They should have all the gushy stuff and behind the scenes. And listen, we don't want to know what they're thinking now. We should go after the draft, and we go the story leading up to 90 Days in Love. Fleur Boulogne is what they're in.
Now, look, far be it for me to cast aspersions. I'm guessing a lot of the 90-day bride things don't work out. That's just me. I'm, you know, I call it an educated guess. But, you know, with Wilson, it really did seemingly come out of nowhere. Nobody was talking about him at this time last year, and I know shoulder injury at the beginning of the season, said he was healthy and ready to go. But Bart, you know, he was playing against teams in 2019 like USC and Washington, and what he did against Utah and you know, really better teams. This year you see the numbers of 33 touchdowns and 3 picks. Bart, they're playing Northern Alabama. They're playing Coastal Carolina, who,
I've
by the way, wasn't very good against.
I've never heard of Northern Alabama.
Yes, Texas State, Texas San Antonio, because they had to do it on the fly. Their schedule fell apart on them.
Yeah.
Boy, this guy scares me. This guy, if you're Joe Douglas, if you're locked in on him, and I think they've done a great job so far of not tipping their hand. If you're locked in on him, boy, you better be right, because if you're a GM, you only get one bite at the apple at picking a franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
And do you really want to do that in a year where you can't get access to as much information as you normally would?
Yeah, man, especially if I can punt down, kick the can down the road and make a decision, because guess what? Just like we didn't know about Zach Wilson, next year it'll be somebody that we don't know about that's going to elevate their play. And listen, right now, Miami Dolphins have the ammunition to go up and get whoever they want if Tua can't prove that he's a quarterback, great quarterback. But Tua's only year one in the process. You know, you look at where they are with having to make a decision on Sam Darnold, then I think you give the young man an opportunity, because guess what? Who was Zach Wilson a couple of years ago? He was Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold was a guy that we had knew about because we had heard about him. We had seen him play. But everybody, you know, came up with the same conclusion that this guy is a guy that can play football. Now, is he a great quarterback? We don't know that. But we know at worst he's a good quarterback. We know he's not a bad quarterback. We know that you can win with him, especially when he's able. He's used to being around bad teammates, bad personnel, bad coaching. And listen, he told the company line. He never blinked. He's had a lot of adversity and looks like he can handle the pressure of New York. I don't know if a dude that's been out in BYU at a small program that's not even really known for football can really come up and deal with the pressure. It's not just the fact that you're a quarterback in the NFL. You're the quarterback of the New York Jets, one of the most scrutinized organizations in the league. You got to be able to have thick skin because you can lose yourself. Has anybody seen Sonny Gray? Anybody? Anybody? No. Listen, Sonny Gray was a shell of himself. Edwin Diaz was a shell of himself. You think about, you know, Randy Johnson, shell of himself. Great players that go somewhere else and can play in small markets, but some people can't handle taking those darts every single day. Like your parents calling you, say they're talking about you again, son. They can break you. New York can make you or break you. We don't know what this guy's made out of. He come here with those little Jim McMahon sayings on his forehead. Somebody's going to make an avatar and something on the damn TV making fun of that damn thing, man. He better get his mind right. I don't know if I want to risk that if I'm Joe Douglas. I know right now, I mean, as another allegations come out about Deshaun Watson, that could be a pipe dream, that, you know, it could be something that this young man is going to be dealing with. But, man, if I'm saying that it's potentially Russell Wilson out there and it's potentially Deshaun Watson and maybe Sam Darnold can play and somebody maybe next year will ascend, I think I'll take four options opposed to putting all my eggs in the Zach Wilson basket.
Let somebody else get stupid. You know, go trade back to 8, let the Panthers do it, get 2 first-round picks for them in the future, and put yourself continuing to fill all these holes that you have. Let's hit the calls because people want to chime in, especially on Wilson at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's hit it first with Dan in Chicago on Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Hey, Danny, what's cooking, bud?
Hey, what's up, guys? Huge fan. Got some Zach Wilson stuff. Let's talk football. But let's also talk about nobody showing up to his birthday party. What do you guys got? I think that's a big character concern.
what do you think rumor, it is? What is this, draft day? Come on.
Kevin Costner? Hey, that can mean something. Nobody showed up to his to his birthday.
You know, I don't know if it was his teammates. Whatever.
Isn't that BYU? You can't really, you know, have fun with girls out there like that. You know, didn't somebody get suspended for that? Didn't games get suspended? So why would I want to go to a party when all I can do is look? I'd be like Chris Rock in New Jack City, man. It's calling me, man. Get me out of here.
I don't know if he was just joking about the birthday thing from draft day, but the thing about the captaincy is interesting too. The quarterback not being the captain. I'm not going to make a big deal about that.
He didn't get the captaincy. He couldn't even win over his teammates.
He wasn't the captain last year.
Oh man, see, that's what I'm saying, man. I need to get that disgruntled receiver to get all the dirt on him. You know what I'm saying? I need that receiver that was always wide open that he was overlooking because he was trying to make the home run ball and he was wide open in the hitch and the flats and he never gave him a shot.
This has been Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Meanwhile, is one of the stars of Major League Baseball about to make a major mistake? We'll get to that right after Bart has this word from HelloFresh.
I tell you what, as I was walking to my destination, I saw a box of HelloFresh just sitting there, man. So they all over the place. Hit refresh on your dinner routine with HelloFresh. Right now, you can take advantage of this new limited time offer and see why HelloFresh is America's number one meal kit. HelloFresh delivers simple recipes with high quality ingredients picked at their peak of ripeness. They offer more than 25 recipes each week, all designed and tested by professional chefs for their nutritional value experts to ensure deliciousness and simplicity. Go to HelloFresh.com/BART12 and use code BART12 for 12 free meals, including free shipping, for a limited time only. That's HelloFresh.com/BART12 and use code BART12 for 12freemeals.com. That's 12freemeals.com for details. Back after this, talk a little baseball.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Han.
2 days away to opening day. It's Bart and Han on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, and your smart speaker, Chris Carlin, in for Alan Han today, along with Bart. ESPN Radio, as always, presented by Progressive Insurance. You could save big when you bundle your home, auto, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit progressive.com. There is a lot to get to with opening day just about, as we said, 48 hours away. So we welcome in Buster Olney, ESPN senior MLB writer and insider, joining us via the Goodyear hotline. Buster, the question on everybody's mind, is this the year that the gutty, gritty, underdog, little engine that could New York Yankees actually break through and get to the World Series?
I think they're clear favorites in the American League, but part of the reason why is it's very interesting. A lot of winters, as you guys know, through the last 25, 30 years, a lot of the arms races have taken place in the American League. Reds, you know, driven by Yankees, Red Sox. This past winter, it was about the National League. It was about the Padres. It was about the Mets. You know, a lot of the talent shifting to that league. And when you look at the Yankees, measured, you know, sort of stacked against the landscape of the American League with what they have and with some of the positive answers they're getting in spring training with the rotation, they are potentially a dynamic regular season team. So I think they're clear favorites as we start. And here's the other thing, too, to remember. They did not go over the competitive balance tax during this offseason. If, you know, we see a lot of fans in the stands during the course of the year, don't at all be surprised if Hal Steinbrenner says before the trade deadline, look, go do it. Go add, Kevin Gausman of the Giants. Go add Anthony Rizzo of the Cubs when some of those teams start to execute their sell-offs.
Yeah, because it's time for them to cash in. You know, I started radio maybe, 4 years ago, and it was the baby bombers. Now they have the AARP cards, and it's time for them to kind of cash in. I'm tired of hearing they become the Dallas Cowboys of baseball. Every year we expect them to do big things and get to the championship. They haven't even had an appearance. But what I really want to ask you is, you talked about all the moves that were made. You talk about Trevor Bauer. You talk about Lindor. Which offseason move will potentially pay more dividends, and which one will be the one that helps get a team over the hump?
I do love the Lindor move for the Mets. I mean, he's a perfect player for them now. I think he puts them within range of the Atlanta Braves. In fact, you know, during the offseason, as the Mets were making additions, you know, the Trevor May in their bullpen and Carlos Carrasco in their rotation and Lindor, you know, a lot of these front offices will do those simulated seasons. And a front office person from a national league team called and said, boy, you know, the Mets now are right on the heels of the Braves in our internal simulations. I don't know if they're that close. I still feel like the Braves are a little underrated, but I think the addition of Lindor makes a big difference. With the Dodgers,
Yeah, adding Trevor Bauer might help, but it might be the difference between them winning the division by 8 games and 14.
Buster, only MLB insider joining us on the Goodyear Hotline. It's Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Buster, with Lindor, reportedly said no to 10 years and $325 from the Mets, wants 12 and $385. Question, Buster, has he fired his agent yet? Because what is he doing turning down that kind of money?
Well, we'll see, too. You know, and there's still some time to go, and what we could be seeing is posturing and negotiating and trying to get a little bit more. You know, with a lot of the players, it's about, you know, edging over the deals of other guys. So, you know, at 325, Lindor would be just below the Bryce Harper, 335, and, what, $15 million below the Tatis deal of 340. So maybe they're doing some last haggling as they go. I reached out to a bunch of agents and executives in the last 24 hours and asked the question, can he possibly turn down this offer? And every person I talked said no. In the end, he can't turn that down because of the enormous risk. I mean, think about it. If he, you know, gets hurt this year, if he has kind of a sluggish year the way that he did in 2020 in the 60-game season, when we get to the fall and there are these five elite shortstops who are free agents, Carlos Correa and Corey Seager and Trevor Story and Javier Baez, Lindor might, in the end, if he turns down this deal, could wind up costing himself something in a range of $150 to $180 million. Oof. That's just too much of a gamble, especially at a time when we're seeing free agents. You know, the biggest deal signed during this past winter was George Springer at $150, and Lindor's being offered more than twice that. So a lot of agents think that in the end, this is just the last bit of haggling before they work it out.
Now, we haven't seen much from Aaron Judge this preseason. Is he okay? And how much of the success of the Yankees depend on him staying healthy, and can they stay healthy? I know they're supposed to be super pliable. I don't know if they're on TB12, but him and Stanton hasn't been healthy for the last couple of years. And how important is it that they stay healthy, or can they win without these guys?
Yeah, when I've talked to the Yankees people, you know, they felt like that in the end, you know, he'll be okay. I can't tell you that I haven't heard that before. You know, is he a big deal? Absolutely. He's one of the best players in baseball in terms of his command of the strike zone and his power and his defense. Could they be okay without him? Sure, they've proven that, right? That's the part of the Yankees that the rest of the American League is going to have a hard time keeping up with, is their run production is so staggering, and there's such depth in that lineup. And Gleyber Torres looks phenomenal this spring. And so they could get by without Judge, but let's face it, it's not only a big year for the Yankees to have Judge in the lineup every day, but it's a big year for Aaron Judge because he's moving closer to free agency. He's moving to that point where there's got to be the conversation between the team and him, and he's going to want as much leverage as possible. And the big question about him that's developed is, can a guy who's 6'7 and 282, the biggest position player in the history of baseball, stay on the field? And you know, so to play 150 games this year would be a big deal for him.
MLB ESPN Baseball Insider Buster Olney joining Barton Hahn on the Goodyear Hotline. Buster, can Fernando Tatis Jr. become the face of baseball this year that they so desperately need?
He definitely could, but he needs some platform as Mike Trout does on the national stage. And the Padres, to me, it's interesting because on one hand, I think if you were to do a power ranking of all 30 teams, I've got them second. Like, I think they're that good with the addition of Yu Darvish, Blake Snell to their rotation, Joe Musgrove, you know, having Manny Machado, having Tatis Jr., but they're still, to me, a distant second behind the Dodgers, which means that under the current format, and, you know, there's still an outside possibility they could agree to expanded playoffs. You know, all it takes is a flurry of phone calls, but under the current format, what that would mean is San Diego would have to play a wild card game to advance in the playoffs, and that, you know, that might undercut any, you know, push by Tatis Jr. to become the most exciting player in baseball. I tell you this, I mean, he is an unbelievable athlete who has demonstrated an absolute drive to get better. You talk to the Padres coaching staff and about the ways that he cleaned up his defense in the last year. It tells you a lot about his push to be as good as a player as he can. Right now, I still have Trout as number one, and I still got Betts at two.
Buster, got about 20 seconds left. Who's the team that nobody's talking about that deserves a lot more respect right now?
Oh, boy. I think the White Sox. You know, they made a lot of upgrades during the offseason. They improved their bullpen. Best reliever in baseball, Liam Hendricks. They have a dynamic rotation and a really deep lineup, and I think they'll add during the year.
Awesome stuff. ESPN Baseball Insider, Buster Olney with us on the Goodyear Hotline. Thanks, Buster. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. See ya.
Great stuff. It's going to be interesting to see how this Lindor situation plays out. Can the Mets get a deal done? Well, today is a day for doing. So can they get that deal done? And is Lindor actually going to turn down $325 million? It is brought to you by The Home Depot. With everything you need to get projects done smarter, faster, and easier. Welcome to today's Home Depot, how doers get more done. More on the Lindor and whether or not he should take that $325 million or hold out for more.
Yep,
but next, should the 49ers and the Jets both take quarterbacks in Zach Wilson and Mac Jones at 2 and 3? You get a chance to sound off next at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, right after Bart has this message from ZipRecruiter.
Recent data shows that out of all the female-owned businesses, it is estimated that 1 out of 3 are owned by a mom. CEO and founder Talia Goldstein is one such mompreneur. She needs to hire several matchmakers a month for her personalized matchmaking company, so she uses ZipRecruiter. Their technology helps her find the right people for her job quickly. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter gets a qualified candidate within a day. Right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Bart. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Bart. B-A-R-T. Your questions, your answers, right after this.
Bart and Han.
Bart and Han on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, and on your smart speaker by saying play ESPN. Chris Carlin in for Allen. Today, Bart and Han is brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. Your chance to sound off on the Jets and 49ers potentially back-to-back taking Zach Wilson and Mac Jones. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's start with Eddie in New York. Eddie, what's going on? You're on Bart and Han on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Hey, big Chris, little Bart, what's happening, brother?
Together, we're the number 10.
On the Jets, you know, I'm not a big Zach Wilson guy. I like Justin Fields. My question to you guys is, would the Jets be better off taking Zach Wilson at 2 or trading with Atlanta, getting Justin Fields at 4 and picking up an extra second and a future whatever, probably a first-round pick somewhere down the line somewhere else? I'd rather have the 4th pick with Fields and get the extra picks and move on.
You know what? You know, I'm not mad at that. We just saw that Justin Fields just ran a 4-4. So if you move back, you're definitely going to be getting a first-round draft pick if you allow the Falcons to come up and get Zach Wilson if that's who they want. I still think that the teams like San Francisco and the teams like you know, the Falcons really want to take Trey Lance and let him sit behind for a year and learn the system, and so they can coach him up, because we know that the arm talent's there and he's a dual threat guy. You know, other than, you know, a guy like Mac Jones who is ready to play, but he doesn't offer that secondary element.
What about the Broncos? We keep leaving them out of this discussion.
Carolina,
they're
too?
Sitting there at 9. Yeah, well, Carolina, absolutely. They're in this, but the Broncos could be looking to move up to 2 as well.
You think listen, the Panthers are ready to get rid of McCaffrey, who's the best player that they've had in their history, the most talented, most dynamic player they've ever had in their history. They're ready to get rid of him and all their first-round draft picks for the next decade for Deshaun Watson. So you know they're ready to move up. They got an itchy trigger finger, especially when they look. If I'm Teddy Bridgewater, I'm like, man, I need another pair of gloves, man, because my Spyro ain't tight enough for some of these dudes out here.
Ethan in Bandera, Texas, up next on Bart and Han on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Ethan, what's up, dude?
Hey, what's going on, you guys? I think we've been talking a little bit too much about the other picks. The newly rebranded Atlanta Falcons need to steal a 23-year-old Sam Darnold. Picks 1, 2, and 3 are going to be quarterbacks easy. Why waste the number 4 pick on, like, Trey Lance when you can give up a 3rd-round pick to go get Sam? Do it. Do it now, but actually only after you give up the number 4 pick to the quarterback-desperate Carolina Panthers. Sell them on it hard. They'll probably bite. Get yourself at least one extra first-round pick for 2022 and some change. Draft a lineman like Slater, Sewell, or get yourself a weapon like Pitts, Waddle, or Jamar Chase. Atlanta could then work with the 1 year on Sam's contract to evaluate what he can do with what they have and what they draft. What do y'all think?
Listen, I think that is a great perspective. I think that definitely should be an option, especially if you're Arthur Smith, who just came off of another Adam Gase reject and Ryan Tannehill. So, I mean, what can you do with another supposed reject or a guy who didn't develop underneath Adam Gase? So I think, you know, that is a very good, you know, option, if especially if their quarterback is – if they trade with the Jets, are they trading with the Jets? Is he saying he's trading with the Jets, or are they saying they're just going to trade with Sam Darnold and use their number 4 pick?
He's talking about trading for Sam and then moving their pick.
Well, I tell you what, if that's the case, they can get the best player available, and they can trade a 2nd-round draft pick for Sam Darnold and have the heir apparent to Matty Ice, at least for a year, sitting there and evaluate Sam Darnold and put him on a 1-year deal like what Mr. Trubisky just signed. So, and then they can still get the offensive lineman or the best player available. They maybe need somebody to replace Julio Jones. So that, you know what? I didn't think about it because I never look at it from Atlanta's perspective, but I would trade my number 2 pick for Sam Darnold and take the best player available at 4, or move down and let some other quarterback hungry team like the Carolina Panthers move up and give up everything. And Atlanta can get a 1st-round pick for next year for that 4th-round pick, first 4-round pick.
One other thing I'd keep in mind, I had heard the Falcons had been sniffing around Jalen Waddle a little bit. Can imagine that? Some Atlanta receivers, some Alabama receivers have been pretty good to them so far with Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley. Don't be shocked if they move back, if that was something that they thought about as well. This segment of Barton Hahn is brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Up next, can anyone beat Gonzaga? We ask our expert on Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.